Dear Lord, I come before thee as an empty vessel. Open my ears that I might hear. Open my eyes that I might see. Open my mind that I might understand. Open my heart that I may receive your word. You may open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. I want you to keep in mind that here in Philippians chapter 3, I have chosen as a general theme for the entire chapter the thought, what matters most? What matters most? What I want you to keep in mind is that here in Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul gives us what I call a spiritual biography. And this biography, as you know, is of oneself. And what Paul does here is that he opens up the chapter by talking to us about his past. And we examine all of that. And you should have it marked in your notes from verse 1 all the way down to verse 11. And it is in those verses that Paul presents himself as the accountant. And we call Paul the accountant because Paul ended up recognizing some great and new values in Christ Jesus. And we took the time to pull apart Paul's desires, his goals, based on the relationship that he had with the Lord. And we started out in verse 8, and I talked to you about the fact that Paul's desire was to win Christ, and it was not about the fact that Paul was not saved or that he was gambling to win Christ over. Then in verse 9, we talked about the fact that Paul says he wanted to be found in Christ. Found in Christ. And then we locked in verses 10 and 11, where Paul says, I want to know him. I want to know him. In other words, what Paul did in all of his desires, his goals, his ambition, was that Paul took what we call all of his human achievements and gave all of that up for the sake of knowledge, righteousness, fellowship, power, all that for the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In today's message, we want to continue in Philippians chapter 3. And now we're going to arrive at a newer section as Paul has laid the groundwork as we just finished talking. And now I want to lock in verses 12 down to 16. We're not going to be able to deal with all of that today, but I want you to write down in your notes because I'm not going to waste any of our time reading all of that. However, I will only read that which I hope we can accomplish on today. But we're going to lock in verses 12 down to 16. Paul, no doubt, was or had to have been a person who was strongly connected with athletics, sports. Because when you study the writings of Paul, Paul always took the time to compare the believer himself to some form of sports to help us out so that we might better understand our text. I want to slightly walk through a few of Paul's expressions that we might find ourselves in the right position to grasp what Paul is going to teach us. First of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26, Paul said this, therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. And notice the terms, the running and the fighting. Then Paul took the time to express to the Ephesians this concept found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Look at what he says about the Christian life. He says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Okay? And then it is obvious that when you continue to read Paul's writings, especially those writings that comes after the book of Philippians, it was obvious that Paul's epitome, his ultimate, is what you find in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Listen to what Paul says. Watch the terms. He didn't say, I am. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. This was Paul's ultimate goal. So when you read that passage of scripture, it's important to note I'm only mentioning that as the end result, his ultimate objective. But what he explains to us in Philippians is that he's still fighting. Everybody together? He is still fighting. So looking now at our text, which is verses 12 down to 16, I'm going to read for your hearing verse 12, just verse 12. We're not going to try to squeeze everything, Paul. We want to just stay right there at verse 12. Listen to what Paul says. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Now, first of all, before we make an attempt to pull that verse apart, looking at it holistically, that is the whole verse in general, Paul in verse 12 teaches us a very valuable lesson regarding something that every Christian must possess. Everybody with me? And what that is that a Christian must possess is called humility. Are we together? That whole statement hangs on the hinges of humility. So the question is, what then is humility? Glad you asked me. Humility is not thinking poorly of oneself. Rather, it is saving the proper estimate of oneself in the will of God. In other words, people get confused when you talk about humility. They honestly think that it is about dogging yourself. That's not what you're doing. You have to align your thinking, your actions, up with the will of God. That whatever God blesses you with, never get the attitude you did it. No, I don't care what it is. You have to submit your will to sit down and allow his will to dominate your life. So every believer must develop a spirit of humility. And once we do this, we can allow the power of the Holy Spirit to control us. But the moment you think you did something, the moment you say, look at what I did, you've lost it. Okay? Listen to the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Listen to Paul. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So now, here's the reason verse 12 is a statement of humility. Paul is also operating on stuff folk were saying. Hearing me? And as a result of that, Paul knew his position. He knew his position, but his goal was to correct the mess that was being said. So Paul here in verse 12 wants his hearers to understand, those to whom which he is addressing, that he recognized he had not yet reached a level of perfection. Are we together? He was not claiming spiritual perfection. And this is an area that we as believers have to be very careful with, because most of the time, the way we see ourselves is based on the things we don't do anymore. But we never think about the areas we are still struggling with. And everybody up in here is struggling. I don't care who you are. Now, you might be able to present the best side of the person you want us to see. But if you took the time to pull that rascal out the closet, you'll understand. So in verse 12 of the text, actually describes Paul's present position. Are y'all with me? His what? Present position. See, I told you in the introduction, in verses 1 through 11, Paul talked to us about his past. But now when you get to verse 12, we see Paul in his present position. It actually shows us that Paul was neither complacent, he wasn't apathetic. Paul was the kind of person that looked at himself from a spiritual perspective and said, I thank God that I am who I am, that there's much more to me that I got to work on. Am I making sense? See, but Paul wasn't the type that, this is an area where Christians get in trouble with. We've been saved 2 minutes, and now all of a sudden we've arrived. And it amazes me. Ask the average person, you're Christian? Yeah, I'm Christian. Let me tell you. I struggle with this. Fine. I struggle with that. Fine. But tell them what you're also still struggling with. Boy, almighty choir. In verse 12, it is a known fact then that Paul was actually rejecting any idea of being perfected at that moment. Got me? Now, please don't get confused. I am not talking about whether Paul was saved or not. That's not what we're talking about. So you got to understand Paul's objective. He knew he had the Lord, but he had a goal of making sure that he himself gave himself more to the Lord. And this is the area most people miss. We claim salvation, but we do very little surrendering. Y'all get it? I'm saved, but I use the analogy, he's in my house, but he wants to be invited to every room in my house. And many of us got the Holy Spirit in the living room. And the reason he's in the living room is because we were taught, if the house is dirty, y'all at least have one room clean. That's where we were brought up. One room, because folk ain't got no business going past your living room unless they want to use the restroom. Boy, yeah. So what was Paul saying to us? I want you to write down in your notes this thought. Now keep in mind, the whole chapter we're talking about what matters what most. But in verses 12 down to 16, just as a subtopic, I want to talk about a work in progress. You hear me? A work where? In progress. I didn't say a work finished. A work where? In progress. Okay? In verse 12, Paul presents three basic attitudes as it relates to his objective and his goal in allowing the Holy Spirit to work on him. Three attitudes. There are three things in verse 12 Paul says to us, I need y'all to notice about me. Because if you're not careful, church, people will put you on a level you can't live on. Boy, I need to say that again. And don't ever allow people to put you somewhere you know as well that you can't live right there. I wish I was as strong as you. Break that statement up. Look folk in the eye and say, I don't know what you're thinking of. I don't know what you're looking at. You may not be looking at the same thing that's in your life and mine, but baby, I got some stuff inside of me that I'm still with the attitude, I'm a work that ain't finished yet, in progress. And this is why there's a misconnection, a lack of communication between the church and the folk in the street. Can I tell you why? Because we make this image that we there. We've arrived. And when you're coming to the Lord, and we're good at telling folk what they need to stop doing. And I'm trying to understand for the life of me, how can anybody stop anything apart from the power of the Holy Spirit? And understood that yet. But we'll give them a little. You got to put that liquor bottle down if you come into the Lord. Come on now. Boy, y'all so quiet up in here. Is it the weather? Do you understand what I'm saying? You got to put them cigarettes down. You don't talk to somebody about stuff they need to stop doing. In fact, that's the job of the Holy Spirit to work on. Not you. You can't tell nobody. Oh, my. Paul says, I am a work in progress. So we don't get past nothing but the first one, says Paul. It'll be all right. I got three. Here's the first thing. First, Paul wanted us to know that he had what? Not received everything. Let me say that again. He had not received everything. Now, you got to get it. I want to borrow just a portion of verse 12. Listen to Paul now. Look at how the verse starts off. Not that I have already attained. write that down in your notes or some kind of way. We're going to stop right there. That's the first thing. Paul is saying, not that I have already attained. Okay? He had not received everything. Watch the text. Any sincere, any honest Christian will always admit two things. Hello, y'all. Don't y'all write in your notes, I said honest. So don't put down in your notes that I said every Christian. That's not what I said. I said every honest Christian. Let me give you the first one. An honest Christian will admit past failures. Boy, y'all. See, an honest Christian will realize that person, they themselves, have not met what God got in store for them. We learned two scriptures and we've arrived. We've attended church 1 month straight, and now we sanctify, Holy Ghost filled, tongue-tied. Does everybody understand? The danger here is that Paul is acknowledging to us that I need y'all to know I had some past failures. We discussed those things at the beginning of the chapter, that Paul had stepped out there, thought he was doing that what was right, and he was doing wrong. I don't care if you speak tongues out of your ear. The point I need you to understand is you are not a finished product. God got some more ground, some more areas, and if we were honest, this is the part that gets me. You'll know honest Christians when you can easily admit, I had to tell the Lord, ask the Lord to forgive me. Car cut in front of me and I said something. See, because we think sometimes ain't nobody in the car, then we can say what? Boy, y'all. So the first thing, Paul, an honest Christian, wants us to understand, you got to admit what? Past failures. You ain't been good at everything. Second, an honest Christian is not satisfied to remain in the spiritual state or condition that they are in. Boy, y'all. See, here's where we mess up. We allow unnecessary stuff to get us in a position. You ought to wake up every morning with the attitude, it's a new day for me to do something new through the power of the Holy Spirit. You are a work in progress. You got a whole lot of folk that are not in nobody's church. Now let me tell you why they're not in the church. Because some know-it-all Christian said, I knew you weren't saved anyway. Because if you were really saved, you wouldn't have gone back to drinking. That's the biggest lie you could have ever told. Boy, y'all sitting up here looking at me. This is just flat out teaching. This is not room for you to go do wrong. I'm trying to deal with honesty. That's not how you approach people who fall short. Because all of us, if we reach in the closet and pull out the real us, it may not be drinking. It could be homemongering. I knew I won't get no amen there. Might be gambling. Some folk just got a thing for lying. Just flat out lie. And you be looking at them like, do you really think I'm stupid? Listen to this. A sense of dissatisfaction is essential to development in one's spiritual life. If you are content with the level you are on, you'll never grow. I hope y'all understand where I'm coming from. You got to get to a point that you realize, I thank God for who I am. Oh, but I get happy when I realize he got more in store for me. And we park. We park at, I go to church. Okay, what's the point? The devil goes to church. I'm a member of a ministry. Devil join ministries. Does everybody understand where I'm coming from? You got to be dissatisfied being right here. I got the gift of tongues. God blessed me with the gift of healing. Oh, God gave me a lovely voice. I got the mind to remember. I can just look at the scripture and it just roll right out my mouth. Oh, that sounds good. But don't you pause. Don't you become content and satisfied, because then you are never developed. And that's what's wrong with us right now. We know two scriptures. We in one ministry. And we pseudo holy. Boy, y'all. Paul is teaching us. And watch this now. Pay attention to the text. Paul was very well aware that he had some areas that God needed to work on. Let me go here. Maybe y'all will get it like this. You ever seen somebody get something new and they change? Okay, you remember them when they didn't have a car. You knew them. Watch me now. When they didn't have a car, how you doing? God is good, isn't it? And then we get a little something and walk right past you and won't even speak. Oh, none of us up in here are guilty of that. Paul understood he was a work in progress. That's the point I'm trying to get you to understand. When you know that some areas, y'all got the key to the closets. Hello? But we act like we done locked up everywhere. You ain't locked up diddly. You know exactly where your shortcomings are. You got the key. And the sad part about it, if truth be told, folk know how to unlock the door and get it out when they make you mad. I like game shows. And I told you the other day, I saw something that blew my mind. What America Says. And the group were Bible study people. And the woman said, we just enjoy studying the word and all of that, and blah, 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 blah. And she said, and the man asked her something. She said, well, the last time we had Bible study, the police came. And I'm thinking maybe it was a neighbor or something. And she said, and I went straight to the door with my beer in my hand. And somebody had called in on us, and we were just enjoying Bible study. And I said to myself, now, first of all, that was a heck of an enjoyment. See, you got to be careful that you don't just go through the motion of doing things. What you want to put in your efforts, you want to make sure is a part of you, is that whatever you do, get it all, everything God got in store, get it out of there. Why? Because you ain't promised next Sunday. See, all you got is right now. And you can't talk about, well, I'll shout next time. I'll take good notes. No, you better take what you can now. Because next Sunday, you might be in a box. So Paul took the time to explain to us. I'm gonna wind up this one bullet, Sister Paul. I want you all to look in your Bibles. I want y'all to pay attention to this. Paul was so certain of the fact that he was a work in progress. I want you to pay attention to how he started the verse. I want you to just look at it. Two words. Not that. Now you don't say not that unless you're addressing something. Everybody in agreement?
Yeah.
Okay. Write the word not down in your notes. Because the word not is an adverb. So Paul was determined that nobody would walk away confused, saying, Paul said he has spiritually arrived. Now, in order for not to be an adverb is a word that typically serves as a modifier, but it can modify a verb, an adjective, or another adverb. Boy, y'all better get this. So Paul stands before his accusers, looks at them in essence and says, not that. Don't you dare think I think I have arrived. Boy, y'all looking at me strange. So when Paul said, not that, Paul meant in essence, I am a work in progress. Here's the part that messed with my mind. I started thinking when people say, oh, you did so and so. You ain't bragging that you did wrong. Own it. Own it and say, I've asked God to forgive me, and he reminded me I am a work. Boy, y'all looking at me like, watch the next. Look at what comes after that. He says, not that, what? Not yet attained. What I want to do, put a pin there. Just put a pin there, okay? Put a pin there. Because I've already told you what not meant. And it's going to take me a few minutes to talk about not that I have attained. Okay? And I don't want nobody to get confused. Because you need to be, yes, I don't do so-and-so no more. Yes, I stopped doing that. Yes, I stopped this right here. Oh, but there's some stuff that I'm still struggling with. And Christians are not honest. Because we would much rather for folk to talk about the things we don't do no more. We'll park that stuff that we do. Because us don't want you to know we do that. What would happen if you were walking the mall and your mind jumped out your body and a big page was in front of you and it read, I need a drink right now. You walk in the mall and you look at somebody and you, in your mind, I wish I could go to bed with you. Boy, y'all sitting up here just as quiet. That's the reality of what Paul is teaching. Paul is saying you are struggling, but don't be ashamed. Own it. You ain't arrived yet. But you're a work. And every now and then, every now and then, the old me catches up. Every now and then. And on a rough day, You may not want to be in the car with me. Am I lying to you? And I mean, I tell you all that. I know my areas of weakness. It just irritates me to death for somebody to get on the interstate creeping. Oh, that just irritates. Oh, I want you to just go through the community. Because the objective is to be effective, you move on with the flow of the traffic. And the idea is, if ain't nobody in there got a ticket, you ain't going to get one. Because in order to get on, go with the flow. Now, once you get your butt down the road, you can slow down. But don't do it going your way. And Calvin, I promise you, there's another me that rises up. But I'm respectful. I'm respectful, Doc. I'm a work. Back in the day when I first got here, I used to honk that horn. And but all little old folks just get to shaking. And sometimes they ain't young, they ain't old. Just people doing other things. Sitting at the light on the phone. That's my area. I'm owning it. What are you owning? What are you owning now? Not what you see in somebody else. What are you? What did I tell y'all a long time ago? I used to party. So for me, I had to turn the music off. I had to turn it off. Because I found myself driving and it didn't mean there was something wrong with what I was doing, but I knew that the music took my mind back. For me, I had to stop that. The problem with many Christians, they want to compromise. See, you got to get to know you. Boy, I thank y'all so much. Sister Paul, just put a pin right there, whatever number, that's where I start, with attained. Okay? Yeah. Got to know who you are. Deal with you. Don't dip in nobody else's bit. Know you. Got me? Know who you are. And some of us are so busy with other folk business, you don't even know yourself. Know what you can and cannot what? Handle. You want to go so-and-so? Can't go. Why? I still got a little bit left in my bloodstream. And it's just best I don't go. Doors of the church are open. Have mercy. God is good.